A year ago, more than 100 leaders representing business, government, education, and nonprofit organizations in the Chippewa Valley traveled to Madison to visit lawmakers in order to advocate for the region's economic priorities. Well, just a few days after that visit, the coronavirus pandemic created a dramatic shift in the economy of West Central Wisconsin and the rest of the nation, as far as that goes. The Chippewa Valley Rally is back this year, COVID style, with virtual visits replacing the handshakes and receptions of the past. It takes place March 8th through 11th, and we'll talk about the issues that will be front and center in this year's Chippewa Valley Rally, coming up now on the West Side. Good morning, I'm Dean Kallenbach, and joining me today are Scott Rogers. He's Vice President of the Eau Claire Area Chamber of Commerce, specializing in governmental affairs. Scott Rogers, welcome back to the West Side.
Dean, thanks for having us.
Also with us today, Jackie Booth. She's the Tourism Director for the Chippewa Falls Chamber of Commerce. Jackie Booth, good to have you along this morning.
Thanks for having us.
Jennifer McHugh is the Vice President of the Community Engagement for Royal Credit Union. She also chairs the Eau Claire Area Chamber of Commerce Governmental Affairs Committee. Jennifer McHugh, welcome.
Glad to be here.
And Doug Mell is with us as well. He's Special Assistant to the Chancellor at the University of Wisconsin-Stout, and he's also here representing the Menominee Area Chamber of Commerce. Doug Mell, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Dean.
So what messages are you hoping the Chippewa Valley Rally brings to lawmakers and to state government officials? Share your ideas, share your comments at 800-228-5615. That's 800-228-5615. Or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. So the Chippewa Valley Rally has happened for more than a quarter century. Jackie Booth, what's the basic concept of the event and how does it normally play out?
Yeah, so the basic idea is that we're getting our region together to talk about some of the major issues that we're looking at and looking for support from those that we place in office. And it's a great way for a lot of our members that are members of all chambers to see each other. Again, this year will be a little different, but to be able to spend a day together and really strengthening the voice of the needs of our communities. And also, kind of being a cheerleader for our communities to the south and being a team together.
And normally we're talking about buses going down to Madison, right?
Right. So a little different this year. Our teams are working out the structure. Yeah. Obviously, Zoom is our hot way to communicate right now. And so we're going to be able to do a platform where we still are representing our needs and our communities, but doing it safely, of course, during this time.
Yeah. So Scott Rogers, like most events in the year of COVID, adjustments are made. So how does the 2021 version of the Chippewa Valley Rally play out from a functional standpoint?
Thanks, Dean. Well, one of the things we had to keep in mind is that even though it wasn't practical to travel to Madison, the legislature is still meeting. They're still looking at the budget. They're going to be making some really significant decisions that are going to affect the economy of our area, and we need to have a way to weigh in on that. So me personally, I've been to Chippewa Valley Rally since the early 2000s, even before I was on the chamber staff. I traveled as a business member, and so we sort of had it down, and we were, we've done 26 of these, and all of a sudden this year, how are we going to pull this off? And so fortunately, we do have the technology. In some ways, we're making it easier for people. The legislative visits that we have with legislators from throughout the state and the capital, we're still going to do those. And just to make it practical, we're doing them over three mornings on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, those mornings. And then we're asking people who sign up to set one morning aside. They'll be part of a small group. And then they'll be in a Zoom room and they'll have a series of consecutive meetings with different state legislators to talk about our issues. We'll still have an address by the governor, some other meetings on workforce with some of the cabinet secretaries. We're gonna have a special session with a couple policy experts who can talk about how do you communicate with lawmakers. So we've got a week plan. It's kind of in bite-sized portions over a few days, and people can participate without having to leave their home or office, and hopefully we can still get our points across this year.
And Scott Rogers, registration still available if people want to take part?
It is. We're going to be putting one of the things we do is we have small group teams who meet with legislators. We're going to be finalizing those about the middle of next week. So it's helpful if people sign up perhaps by Tuesday of next week. Probably the easiest way to find it would be to go to the Eau Claire Chamber's website, eauclairechamber.org, look at events there, and you can get all the information.
One of the things that's part of the normal circumstances is there will be events where any legislator can come. Are you reaching out just to Western Wisconsin legislators in this Zoom version, or are you trying to get key legislators on key committees that affect the region and the economy?
Well, of course, the critical nature of this is that we have a terrific bipartisan delegation in our region, the Chippewa Valley, who works with us on issues. And there's a lot of emphasis on working with them, but they also see it as an advantage because what we do in terms of our regional priorities is we literally schedule meetings with legislators from throughout the state. And it's something that's happened from the very beginning. And so there are 130 legislators, I think, right now. There's a couple vacancies, and we do expect we're going to probably have meetings with 90 or so of them. So some years it's more than 100. We probably won't be able to do quite as many. But really, one of the things that Chippewa Valley Rally does is it kind of waves a flag to those legislators who represent Southeast Wisconsin or the Fox Valley so that they can hear what the priorities of the Chippewa Valley are. And so that's an important aspect of it, and we think we'll be able to pull it off this year.
Jennifer McHugh, advocacy is a big part of your job at RCU, as well as in your role as chair of the Government Affairs Committee of the Eau Claire Area Chamber of Commerce. So as you contrast the normal Chippewa Valley Rally bus trip for in-person gatherings with the virtual event planned for next month, what are you going to lose compared to the normal rally, and is there any chance you might actually gain something?
Yeah, great question. Dean, and you know, I've been on a few of these quote unquote virtual trips now with lawmakers through my role at Royal Credit Union, have met with both state and federal lawmakers in that situation. So I have some experience in this last year of COVID. And you know, certainly there's a lot to be said about, you know, driving down to Madison or flying out to Washington and showing up and being in their office and showing that you're passionate about the issues and that you're passionate about the area and that you want to work with them to make a positive difference in the area. And so you miss that, you know, that in-person, that face-to-face communication. Just, you know, it's not the same over Zoom. That said, what I get so excited about with meetings on virtual and what we have coming up with the Chippewa Valley Rally is that it really opens up an opportunity for us to get more people engaged in communicating with lawmakers. Maybe someone who didn't have the time to get on the bus at, I don't know, Scott usually has us leaving at 4 o'clock in the morning or something ridiculous. I just have to stay up all night so I can make sure I don't oversleep. But, you know, it allows more people the opportunity to take part. And, you know, you might not be able to give a whole day, but maybe you can give, you know, 3 or 4 hours one morning and get excited about it. And then hopefully get more engaged in government affairs and advocating for our region and our businesses moving forward.
I think there are going to be a lot of businesses and transactions that are a lot different 5 years from now, you know, because we've gone through this immersion experience with virtual conversations, that there are going to be some things that have changed in all sorts of areas. That's the voice of Jennifer McHugh. She is the Vice President of Community Engagement for Royal Credit Union. She also chairs the Eau Claire Area Chamber of Commerce Government Affairs Committee. Our topic today is the Chippewa Valley Rally, scheduled virtually this year, March 8th through 11th. Also joining us today, and voices you've heard already, Scott Rogers, Vice President of the Eau Claire Area Chamber of Commerce, specializing in governmental affairs. Jackie Booth, she's Tourism Director for the Chippewa Falls Chamber of Commerce. I want to turn now to our fourth guest, Doug Mell. He's Special Assistant to the Chancellor at the University of Wisconsin-Stout, also on the show representing the Menominee Chamber of Commerce. So this year, the Chippewa Valley Rally partners came up with five key issues to emphasize to the legislators in Madison. Doug Mell, one of those is on your campus. Can you talk about the request that the Chippewa Valley Rally is making on behalf of UW-Stout?
Sure, I'm happy to. We have a rather elderly academic building. It's called Heritage Hall. It's one of our larger, academic buildings built in 1973. And we're requesting $5.6 million to begin the planning and design work to renovate that building. And the actual construction would be done in 23-25. Again, it was built in 1973. Not a lot of work has been done on that building since 1973, and a lot has changed in academia since 1973, how we educate and what we teach and how we teach. So that building really doesn't function well anymore as an academic building. The structure of it is great. I mean, the outside structure and everything is really, really in good shape. We've had a feasibility study done on it, but inside it just doesn't work anymore as an academic building. So we want to begin the planning and design work for Heritage Hall, and the actual construction will be done in 23-25.
So a second of the five key issues is also related to a university facility, this one at UW-Eau Claire. And Scott Rogers, I'm wondering if you could explain what you're asking for there.
Sure, Dean. The people have been following kind of what's been happening. This actually goes back to our issue 2 years ago in the last budget. You've probably heard of Phillips Hall at the UW-Eau Claire campus. It's even older than Heritage Hall and built in the early 60s, really completely out of date and in poor condition in terms of the science needs of the UW-Eau Claire campus as they move forward and meet the needs of some of their educational areas, such as medical, nursing, and others. And there's a crying need to replace that hall. But at the same time, there is a vision for where each of these campuses go. And our regional campuses here, Stout, River Falls, Eau Claire, really each have an important role and that are complementary with each other. And there's a significant vision for UW-Eau Claire campus to do some other things that include some partnerships. So for instance, there's a partnership with Mayo Clinic Health System to leverage the benefits well beyond the campus boundaries to do research there and medicine, to work on rural healthcare, and really to help make UW-Eau Claire one of the premier campuses in the nation for pre-med. And then there's also a new partnership being formed with HPE out of Chippewa Falls, the successor of Cray, with supercomputers, and they're looking at doing a computer center there. So the first half of the cost of this was enumerated in the last budget in 2019 to 21. And now there's a request to do the second half, so you can do one complete building to replace that campus, to do it as effectively as possible, and to have it online before Phillips Hall completely disappears. So that's a really important project, and one that not only is critical to the UW-Eau Claire campus and its future, but really an opportunity for the economy of the entire Northwest Wisconsin region.
Are they going to move all the taxidermied animals that are in Phillips Hall over to the new place?
Well, we'll have to follow up with the university and find out what the plans are for those.
Might need more money for that. Jennifer McHugh, the Chippewa Valley Rally is largely about the economics of our region. Yet these first two items we talked about are renovation of some university facilities. How does that improve the economic outlook for the region?
Our universities are our lifeblood and really wonderful, wonderful drivers of our economic engine. So, you know, as someone coming representing business, I'm very proud to advocate on behalf of these two university projects. I'm a little bit more familiar with UW-Eau Claire's, but wow, you look at that partnership with Mayo. And the opportunities for research that brings in and the collaboration and the student experiences. I mean, you can't help but be passionate about the opportunities that affords, our students, our community, and our region. But both of these issues are something that certainly I am very proud to virtually go to Madison and speak on behalf of the business community in support of these two fantastic projects.
Doug Mell, higher education, as we all know, has been hard hit by the pandemic. It's resulted in furloughs, other job actions, some significant budget measures as well. Can this push for facilities upgrades seem a little tone deaf for those whose jobs have been impacted by the coronavirus?
I don't know. I don't think so, because we have to keep investing in our facilities, especially on our campus. We're not asking for a new building. So it's reusing what we have. And if we don't do that, basically the building is just going to fail. We have failed systems. So I think most people agree that higher education is really an integral part of the solution to bring us out of our current economic crisis. We need the knowledge economy. And in order to do that, we need facilities that are able to teach in the way that we now teach, and not in the way we were teaching in 1973. So I think it's the opposite. I think it's very forward looking. I think it's an investment in our infrastructure is what it is. And so I think it's the opposite of tone deaf, Dean. I think it's really an acknowledgement that higher education needs to be part of the solution for where we go coming out of this pandemic crisis.
That's the voice of Doug Mell. He's Special Assistant to the Chancellor at the University of Wisconsin-Stout. We're talking about the Chippewa Valley Rally and the key issues that are going to be brought to state legislators next month. Also joining us this morning, Scott Rogers, Vice President of the Eau Claire Area Chamber of Commerce, specializing in governmental affairs, Jackie Booz, the Tourism Director for the Chippewa Falls Chamber of Commerce, and Jennifer McHugh, the Vice President of Community Engagement for Royal Credit Union and Chair of the Eau Claire Area Chamber of Commerce Government Affairs Committee. What are the ideas of the economy that you have for Western Wisconsin? What are the needs? What would you like our guests to tell legislators in Madison when they talk to them next month? Call 800-228-5615. That's 800-228-5615. Or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. ideas@wpr.org. I'm Dean Kallenbach. This is The West Side on the Ideas Network. Our topic today is the Chippewa Valley Rally, set for March 8th through 11th as a virtual event. So far, we've talked through two of the five key issues that the folks who are attending the rally are going to be talking to state legislators about and focusing on. One of those is to enumerate funding for the Science and Health Sciences building at UW-Eau Claire. The other, to enumerate funding for planning and design for Heritage Hall at UW-Stout. Jackie Booz, a third key issue being pushed at the Chippewa Valley Rally in 2021 relates to land in your community, Chippewa Falls, specifically some land that's owned by the state. What is that land and what are your delegates proposing be done with it?
Yeah, well, we find ourselves obviously in kind of a good place, which is that we need more land. Our current industrial park is almost sold out. So, when we've got many people in our community working to bring new business into the area, unfortunately, we might be having to pass on opportunity to grow economic growth in our area here. So there is land that is kind of on the southeast sector of Chippewa Falls that's near the Wisconsin Veterans Home. And there's acreage there that has been kind of deemed unused and kind of underutilized for almost 10 years now. And so the conversation has been had multiple times, but now it's kind of coming to the surface because of the immediate need that we need here to be able to build more. And so the city of Chippewa Falls has also had communication. You know, really at the end of the day, we're looking at just the opportunity to sell that land, whether it's to the city or it's to private development, because that goes hand in hand with increasing our workforce and bringing more talent to our region. And so the ask is there. And if that is something that, particularly the area in itself is Very close proximity to Highway 29. It sits near the Lake Wissota area, which is a great drive for relocation and for people wanting to kind of build and have that lifestyle as well. So we know that there's a lot of potential, and if that consideration can be done, there could be some amazing growth for our valley.
Do we know if the state itself has had a plan for that land, or is it just something that was kind of forgotten?
I think it's been in conversations. Past governors have brought it up as well. It's just kind of one of those things where if the need wasn't fully there at the time, it was just kind of discussed and then went away. And now that we're finding ourselves in the situation that we are with Lake Wissota Industrial Park almost done, you know, it's time to look at that and look at some good success for the valley and for our community.
Another of the five key issues being brought before legislators by delegates of the Chippewa Valley Rally next week relates to internet access. Jennifer McHugh, what are you asking for, and how does that tie into the region's economy?
Yeah, well, I mean, certainly broadband is a huge issue, and it's never come to more light than in this past year in the COVID environment. And I mean, certainly when you look at broadband and access for rural areas, from, you know, students to people in the workforce, broadband is absolutely an economic driver and one we should be advocating for in Madison. There's just critical needs, and we're just going to be taking our message to lawmakers that this is something that they should be working on, and identifying solutions, and honestly investing in broadband expansion needs to happen. And that's what they're elected to figure out how to do. So that's going to be our main message regarding that.
I can tell you, yeah,
if I could on that issue, I don't think we ever saw the need for broadband more than when our universities all across the state had to shift to the virtual learning last spring and then continue it this fall. Obviously we're coming back now. I mean, you know, we're more and more of our classes are being held in person, but that's one of the biggest issues we dealt with last year when we did have to make that pivot to online learning, was just the fact that so many of our students did not have access to good enough broadband that they could actually do their schoolwork from home. And that's in higher ed. And if you think about the K-12 schools all across the state, I mean, it really brought that, I think it really brought that issue home for a lot of people. And I think it's one of those issues that really should and probably is bipartisan. We were talking the other day to Senator Smith, Jeff Smith of Eau Claire, who, you know, has made this one of his top issues. And he really thinks that because of what's happened, not just in education, but across the state with this pandemic, that something should happen this year with broadband. I think it's critical. We're not going to move forward as a state without decent broadband. I mean, I wouldn't be sitting here being able to talk to you today if I didn't, you know, live in Eau Claire with decent broadband. So it's just such a critical issue.
I will tell you, having done 13 legislative debates between July and October of last year, that broadband came up as an issue either by the legislators or legislative candidates themselves or by the callers who joined the program. It was a big deal. So I think you'll find a receptive audience. The question is what to do about it, and that's a whole nother show. The four issues we've discussed so far involve some pretty specific requests for action. The fifth is one of the five key issues, seems to me to be a lot broader, and that is to provide vigorous state leadership on workforce challenges. And I'm wondering, Scott Rogers, why is that needed and what does it look like?
Well, even before the pandemic, we were hearing from our business members across the community and across the state that workforce is one of the biggest challenges. We have a demographic crisis in Wisconsin. We don't have enough people. We need to attract more people. We also need to do things like ensure that the young people growing up in our communities have access to the kind of family supporting jobs that a lot of our manufacturers, healthcare, other good paying employers have available. And that's going to continue. You know, we haven't bounced back from the job losses from the pandemic, but one of the things that's interesting, I just saw a statistic yesterday in a meeting that in our area, we actually have more manufacturing jobs than we did a year ago, even with the pandemic. And so with the displacement going on there, really the state is the one that has to take a lead on things like attracting people to our communities, but also to have the training and across the different parts of state government to make sure the efforts that they undertake are well coordinated. So it's a big challenge and it's important for the state to take an active role in leading on it.
We're previewing the Chippewa Valley Rally taking place March 8th through 11th. And that is going to be a virtual event this year as opposed to a bunch of buses going down to talk to legislators. You can learn more about it. There are links on the Menominee Area Chamber of Commerce, the Eau Claire Area Chamber of Commerce, and the Chippewa Falls Chamber of Commerce websites that you can find if you want to learn more or become involved. And we've just been talking about the five key issues that will be discussed at the Chippewa Valley Rally. Let's move now to some other topics, and I want to go to the phones now. 800-228-5615, by the way, the number to call if you'd like to join the conversation, 800-228-5615. You can also email us at ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. We're joined now by Adam in Eau Claire. Adam, welcome to the West Side.
Hey, Dean, thanks. Yeah, so I'm just wondering for the panelists, since we've had the least active legislature in the entire United States over the last year, what is the plan for simply messaging that we need our legislators to go back to work for us? And then in addition, push these other five key items.
Jennifer McHugh, let me throw that one to you. Is there any comment about the legislature went 270 days, I think, last spring, summer, and fall without meeting? Is that a concern that the Chippewa Valley Rally will be dealing with?
Certainly we all have our own personal opinions on what's transpired. I think for, at least from my perspective, for our group, we're going down there talking about what they're doing now and what we can do moving forward for the state of Wisconsin. We can't go back and change what happened in the last year. I think we wish that there never would have been a pandemic and all those things, but I'm really, from a business perspective, focused on going down there, continuing to develop relationships with the people that are elected by all of us to represent us and talk about what they can do moving forward.
Our conversation so far has been focused on the specific topics being brought forward to legislators at the rally next month. But the big news, including the big economic news of the past year, of course, is the pandemic. Yesterday, the Wisconsin Department of Revenue and Chippewa Valley Partners made a presentation about the economic outlook for the state and specifically for the Chippewa Valley in the coming months and the coming years. Scott Rogers, you participated in that. You attended that event. What were some of the, you mentioned the manufacturing bump, but what were some of the other big takeaways as you observed that conference?
Well, certainly we know how uneven the recovery has been, and we know that there are some industries that are doing very, very well. Some of the retail, groceries, things like that. Construction's doing well. The housing market is still strong, but we also know how hard hospitality has been hit. And so really some uneven things there that we're trying to come back out of. There do seem to be some silver linings that there has been some recovery in some of those areas. Education is kind of more in the middle. There's healthcare is kind of in the middle. So it's helpful to really see some of the statistics. It does tell us, even going back to workforce, that with some of the displacement we've had, where we've got some industries that are still crying for workers and others where a lot of the jobs have vanished, at least for now, what can we be doing to help people make transitions. And if they were in hospitality, and a lot of our manufacturers, for instance, have jobs that pay very well, that if they're looking for people, you know, what can we do to get the training and other things? And we've been fortunate, you know, we've been talking about education and our universities here, Stout and Eau Claire, and CVTC has been a leader in really making things happen and getting people into good paying jobs through the kind of education provide, even in dual enrollment in high school. So there's a lot of solutions to that, but we are in uncharted territory, and it's good to take a look at what the situation is so that we can actually respond to it.
Presentation yesterday at that webinar by Emily Camfield of the Department of Revenue shows that unemployment in the Eau Claire metro area in December was down about 6%, or rather employment was down about 6% from the previous year. But that's a recovery from April, when the rate was actually 16% lower of employment from year over year. Jennifer McHugh, I'm in your position with the Royal Credit Union, obviously as a financial institution, it's paying attention to indicators like that in the economy. Is there a sense of when employment in this part of the state might recover, and what it will take for that to happen?
I mean, you know, certainly from, you know, from a financial institution perspective, we are, you know, closely monitoring that, and, you know, certainly, you know, working with our members to help them through any current struggles they may be, and maybe having, you know, certainly Royal has been very involved in the PPP program. And, you know, that program, it's interesting, you know, has gotten, you know, a lot of publicity, obviously, and you hear about these, you know, high dollar loans. You know, the average loan that Royal gave out through PPP was $41,000. So these are you know, loans going to the smallest of businesses for you know, for really emergency needed relief. And I know I've gotten a little off topic from your question, but you know, we're you know, cautiously optimistic that things will continue to improve. Certainly watching those trends and keeping a close eye and just doing everything that we can to make sure that we're there for our members when they need us.
We're talking about the economy of Western Wisconsin, particularly about the Chippewa Valley Rally that's happening March 8th through 11th in a virtual style, in which several individuals from Western Wisconsin, business, nonprofit, education, governmental leaders will be meeting with folks in the legislature and state government to talk about the needs of Western Wisconsin's economy. Our guests today are Jennifer McHugh. She is the chair of the Eau Claire Area Chamber of Commerce and vice president of community engagement for Royal Credit Union. Doug Mell, special assistant to the chancellor at the University of Wisconsin-Stout. Scott Rogers, vice president of the Eau Claire Area Chamber of Commerce. And Jackie Booz, tourism director for the Chippewa Falls Chamber of Commerce. Parts of the economy of Western Wisconsin have bounced back, but many aspects are struggling to survive. What's the economic story you want to tell these delegates to the Chippewa Valley Rally, and what do you want them to tell the legislators? Email ideas at WPR.org, ideas at WPR.org, or call 800-228-5615. That's 800-228-5615. I'm Dean Kallenbach, and this is The West Side on the Ideas Network. We're back on The West Side talking about the Chippewa Valley Rally and more broadly about the economic state of affairs here in Western Wisconsin. There was, again, a review by the Department of Revenue yesterday about the Chippewa Valley economy, and the chief economist for the Department of Revenue said one of the parts of the Wisconsin's economy that's in what he called a recessionary recovery, that's a recovery that's going to take a while, is that of higher education, with significant losses in higher education jobs. Doug Mell, Governor Evers, in his biennial budget proposal released earlier this month, had a number of items related to higher education. What is UW Stout hoping to see in the next budget?
We're hoping to see an investment in higher education in some shape, manner, or form. And you're right, the governor did put out a very bold budget for higher education. Actually, our spending over the biennium, state spending over the biennium would go up $190 million, according to the governor's plan. And it's split out in various areas, both targeted initiatives and block grants and some other aid. So what we're hoping, and we're already meeting with our legislators to talk about the budget, Dean, is we're just hoping a recognition that, you know, we need support. Higher education in this state needs continued support if we're going to keep, you know, we're a key part of the workforce solution. So when the chambers go to Madison to talk about workforce development, what they're talking about is higher education in a lot of ways, right? Because those are the kinds of jobs that we want to foster. So we need to have the workers ready for those jobs. And obviously, UW-Stout, that's our mission, is to prepare students who are ready to work on day one. We're very proud of the fact that our placement rate is in the high 90s every single year. We're going to come out with another employment report soon that's going to show it in the high 90s again. But we need investment in order to do that. And the governor's budget is a recognition that that investment is needed if we're going to continue to build a workforce of the future in Wisconsin.
Now, it's no secret that leisure and hospitality industries are among the slowest parts of the economy to recover. Employment in those areas were down 45% in the Chippewa Valley in December compared to the previous December. The Department of Revenue also fit things like mass entertainment, restaurants, and destination travel into the category of recessionary recovery, meaning it may take years rather than months for a total comeback. Jackie Booz, as tourism director for the Chippewa Falls Chamber of Commerce, how are your constituents weathering the storm?
So, yeah, I mean, obviously, the tourism sector is devastated when you look at hotel and lodging tax. So that's something that, as you mentioned, we're projecting a two to three year recovery in that. Along with that comes the consumer confidence to travel as well. And so, you know, we it trickles from vaccines and the consumer aspect of it will play a huge role in that. Obviously, we have had the positives of being in the state of Wisconsin, and our region of the state is that we are a four-season destination. So outdoor recreation and outdoor recreation outfitters had an amazing year when it comes to biking or any of the outdoor rec businesses. They did outstanding. And when that comes in as part of our marketing, you know, we want to market still the state safely and market our communities safely, but being able to be outside and spread out and just kind of mental health and all of the things that come with being active is a positive that we've seen. Now, to answer your question, there are people that are hanging on by a thread. You know, we've got restaurant and tavern league or tavern members that have seen such a hit that, you know, they're hopeful to come through this summer. And we've had some areas that we've been able to assist with grants and other things as well. But, you know, again, that's something that we're seeing. And when we deal with Travel Wisconsin being our kind of grandfather of marketing, you know, the tourism cabinet is the smallest in the state, yet it has one of the largest impacts in the entire state. So when we see this downfall, it does trickle. And of course that trickles to employment. So if you're not open the same hours or you're not having the same profit, you're not going to have the same employment. So we're hopeful that this summer, when, you know, news of Johnson & Johnson came out and other things that are kind of making things go in a forward motion a little quicker, we're hoping that the consumer confidence of travel will pick back up. And the great thing too is where we're positioned, we've never been reliant on airfare. And so it's always been a drive-in destination point. So for us to see that increase and that kind of stableness of all of that is a good play for us. But yeah, like I said, we're all holding our breath and hoping that this summer will bring back some of our festivals in a safe manner and bring some of that economic impact that really trickles to everybody, businesses and taxpayers as well.
We got a call from Vern in Boyd. He didn't stay on the line, but he left a message saying the economy needs to be based on industry, not tourism or recreation. I would assume that you would have a quarrel with that point of view, Jackie Booth.
Well, I would. You know, one of the things is, you know, as a resident in Boyd, you know, they have bikers that come through. They have people that are doing fall color tours. They have people spending money in their gas stations and their restaurants. Of course, the sectors, the industry sector of the workforce might be what he's alluding to. My position and my sole reason for my employment is to market our area and our county, to invite people safely to come here, spend some money, support the local industry and the local employment, and then go home happy and hopefully return too. So there, tourism plays a significant role in our day-to-day, whether we see the license plate or not, you know, from the outside guests. So it is a sustainability for all of our businesses. And if you talk to a hotelier, they'll tell you that not having those overnights come in for almost the past year now has been devastating to the structure of the community too. And that trickles to the employees that are employees or residents of Boyd or Chippewa or wherever it might be. It's impacting our residents as well.
So on the other end of the scale, the Department of Revenue says retail sales, industrial production, housing, they're all industries that have not only recovered from the COVID slump, but are thriving right now. In fact, employment in manufacturing was actually up 5% in December year over year in the Chippewa Valley. Scott Rogers, having good news is nice. Is there any way that those recoveries can bolster the parts of the local economy that are less stable? And should government play a role in that?
Well, I think it's everything working together and even, you know, acting on, you know, what Jackie said. You know, it's the tourism things that we enjoy even as residents of our own community that make it a good place to live and create the quality of life that people want to come and live here. And it really all works together. And so the strength of those sectors have done things like hold up the some of the tax revenues. You know, we've just learned that the county has done, counties are doing better than they expected with tax revenues, and they've been able to not have to cut things as much as they did. And really the one of the things I think the business community supported and the local and state and national chambers of commerce was the things like the PPP programs and the other pandemic relief that we saw strong bipartisan action at all levels of government. Those things really have made a difference and have helped create a floor. So between sort of those temporary targeted things and the strength of other pieces of our economy, those are the things that are going to allow us as, and I know Jackie mentioned the increased vaccinations, as consumer confidence comes back, as a larger percentage of the population is vaccinated, then we're going to be able to come out of this. And it's all those things working together that give us the foundation to move forward with our economy.
Jackie McHugh, our topic today is the Chippewa Valley Rally, and that's the event in which businesses, government, and social leaders of Western Wisconsin engage with state legislators. It's happening virtually this year, March 8th through 11th. But when it comes to recovering from the economic hardships of the pandemic, much of the help so far has come from the federal government. And as chair of the Governmental Affairs Committee of the Eau Claire Area Chamber of Commerce, how involved is the chamber in lobbying at the congressional level?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, you are exactly right. And I know we've talked a couple times about PPP, but man, when you look at what that program has been able to do, provide that emergency relief for our you know, small business, it's been really important. And that's been economic recovery, at least in the trips that I've been on, trips again in quotes, virtual trips, but the meetings that I've been in with our federal lawmakers, and I've got another round coming up just next week with the credit unions, but certainly talking about you know, ways to stimulate the economy, help those who need it most, and get our regions and our communities back on their feet have certainly been key issues that we've talked about. And I think it's important. And I think that is how advocacy works. It's talking to your local lawmakers, it's talking to your state lawmakers, and it's talking to those federal lawmakers and seeing what can be done at the different levels of government.
We're in a situation now where in both the federal and the state government, we have the legislative branch. I should say in state government, we have the legislative branch, which is Republican, the governor that's Democrat. Until recently, we had the opposite in the federal government, but now we have Democratic majorities in Congress and the Senate, and we have a Democratic president. Does that, Jennifer McHugh, does that change the way you deliver your messages depending on what the tensions are politically for the level of government that you're talking to?
Absolutely. I mean, you have to take in mind when you're meeting with the elected officials, you know, where they're coming from, you know, what their caucus environment may be and what they may and may or may not be able to get accomplished. But I think when you look at the dynamics in each, you know, you have to let them work through that. And as an advocate, you know, you have to stick to your message and communicate, you know, the thoughts and the feelings and the priorities for yourself and the other constituents that you're there representing, and let the lawmakers do their jobs. It's not an easy one. And I think that there has to be some level of appreciation for that. But certainly you have to take a look at the political environment they're operating in as you're walking into those offices.
Well, specifically,
and I would just piggyback on that
ahead,
too. I think that's been, I'm just going to piggyback real quick on what Jennifer said. I think that's really been the conception of this Valley rally. I mean, it's we're coming with a unified message. We're coming for the strength of our community. And as you talk about the sides and how everything gets divided here and there, when we come with strength, it's, you know, this is a year in the making. We get together, we talk about all the issues that are going on within our three communities and come with that unified message. And I think that speaks volumes, whether it's Democrat or Republican that you're speaking to, that they see that these issues will affect all of the communities and all the members of these communities as well.
So the big story on the federal stage, President Biden's proposed a $1.9 trillion stimulus bill. Critics worry that it's a poorly targeted plan that will put us further in debt without helping that much. With about 30 seconds to go in the program today, Scott Rogers, have the local chambers taken a position on that proposal?
Not directly. I think working with our federal partners at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, I think there's a strong recognition that some of that relief is needed. Also a strong suggestion that it really needs to be done on a bipartisan basis. So U.S. Chamber did send a letter just this week to the president and to Congress saying they would really like to see that happen. There are some things that aren't in it, like liability protection, although fortunately that was just passed here in the state level. So we would like to see it done on a more bipartisan basis, but some of those things are indeed needed.
Scott Rogers, Jackie Booz, Jennifer McHugh, Doug Mell, thank you for joining us today. And the Chippewa Valley Rally, March 8th through the 11th, still an opportunity to be a part of it. You can check out the local Chambers of Commerce websites to get more information on that. Catherine Thomas was our producer for today's show. Tommy McGowan is our publicist. Kate Spranger manages the archive. If you'd like to share this program with a friend, it should be up within the hour at WPR.org. Check on shows, then select the West Side to find it. Next week on the West Side, we hear from Mai Zhang of Eau Claire and Odawa White of Hayward, the two members of the Governor's Advisory Council on Equity and Inclusion from Northwestern Wisconsin, about that council's first meeting and their vision for the future. I'm Dean Kallenbach. You're listening to The West Side on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.